One is the teachers will enjoy having a new copier here in a couple of weeks in the teachers' resource room. I know y'all have been saying some choice words to that copier for a couple of years, and so we're going to help you. And they finally came back and said they couldn't get no more parts for that one. So anyway, it's run its course. We were supposed to purchase a new copier last year, and so we did this year. We didn't actually purchase one. We went through the lease process. So anyway, God's good, and it actually lowered our overall monthly. I like that when it lowers your monthly bills. So anyway. And then secondly, we did have money come in to paint the bus. And so the bus, one of Kevin's, not one of his shops not painting it, but he sent it over to a shop to get it painted. And so the yellow bus we purchased a few months ago is getting painted white and blue. And then we'll put the decals, the school decal on one side and the church decal on the other. And it's just going to be pretty. It's going to be nice. Brother Wiggins will finish up tonight with the soul winning series. And then next Wednesday night will be Brother Stewart with us during the Bible conference. And the next Wednesday night we'll start a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll start off that series, and I'll be preaching that for 7 weeks. The fruit of the Spirit, of course, there in Galatians, and talking about walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. And we'll look at all those words, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith. And we'll look at those words. And then he'll come back after that and preach on prayer in May. And then this summer we'll cover subjects such as, I'm pretty sure we're going to cover the subject of tongues. And so we haven't done that in several years. And then he'll come back and preach another series, and then I'll come back and I'm going to preach sometime in the fall on why we use the King James Bible. So that's kind of what we're doing on Wednesday nights. Me and Brother Wiggins switching out, and so appreciate him and thankful for the soul winning series. And I'm glad we did it out here rather than in a classroom somewhere with a few people signed up. All of us got to be a refresher course. And if not, some of you may have got it brand new on how to lead somebody to Jesus. So, good. Come on, Brother Wiggins.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm thankful for a church that allows the associate pastor to preach. And I know a bunch of associate pastors that envy my job. They don't know what all I do. All they know is that I get to preach on some Wednesday nights. If they knew all the rest of it, they wouldn't want it. The fun part of ministry is preaching. The worst part of the ministry is the ministry itself and all that you have to do, and especially when you're like me and you're unorganized. But I appreciate our pastor. I appreciate our church. I appreciate our church allowing me to do what I do. I'm very gifted. I'm gifted, yeah. I'm very thankful that God has given me the gifts that I have. And I'm not talking about the gifts that piano playing and things like that. I'm talking about gifts from you. And I'm able to work full-time here, and I thank you for that, and I appreciate you very much for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 3, and then we'll get to the slides, and we got a lot to cover tonight, so I'm going to try to hurry. Just look at verse 3 and 4 for the sake of time tonight, and I always hated that statement, for the sake of time, to skip Scripture, but we got some other stuff to go on. But notice what it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, I want you to notice this, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Tonight we're going to talk about the last part, and the last part of the road to salvation is how we can be saved. And so we're going to look at that here in a moment. But I want to focus on this verse because I want to, at the end of this service tonight, I hope that I convey the truth that salvation is a heart matter. It's not a mind matter. But I also want to just remind us through the Scripture that the devil does not have a lot to do with the heart before he has a lot to do with the mind. And it says, in whom he had blinded the minds of them. And by the way, the Holy Spirit works on the heart, but Satan has the mind. He has it captivated today with everything in this world that we can put into this mind. And a lot of times the reason the gospel is not reaching the hearts of men is because of the mind being filled with the things of this world. And by the way, you know that if you're in this world. I want to give you some quotes. I thought these were good. You can never give the gospel to the wrong person. It is only good news if it gets there on time. Hudson Taylor said this, "The Great Commission is not an opinion to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." Oswald J. Smith said this, "No one has the right to hear the gospel twice while there remains someone who has not heard it once." Also, Oswald J. Smith said this, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist." Pastor says that all the time. And then the last one I give you is from Oswald J. Smith. "We talk of the second coming, but half of the world has never heard of the first. Isn't that sad?" We'll pray and then we'll begin tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. Lord, there's a lot I need to cover. And Father, there's a lot on my heart tonight. And Lord, my cup does run over, and I thank you for that. But Lord, I need to convey truth into these people here tonight. Lord, there may be souls lying in the balance. And Lord, I pray you that you help me and direct me. And God, I thank you for open and receptive hearts tonight. And God, we ask that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go ahead with the first slide tonight. I think that this is going to help us kind of understand. So I got this from the National Association of Evangelicals, which could mean a lot of things, but we're going to take it. But this is the age when somebody is born again. This is the actual what they categorize it as, not as a Christian, but being born again. And I don't know how many people they may have did 100. I don't know. But I think it was quite a few that they did. But here it is. And I think this is important, and I'll prove a point here in a moment. But from the age of 0 to 3 years old, of course, there's only 1%. Obviously, if a person gets saved at that age, it's a little sketchy. But notice the 2%. From 30%, now there's a lot of polls out there, you can go look at them. Barna has one that's more liberal than this. I mean, they put it at 80% where it says 63 and the rest of them are a little different. But from the age of 30 plus, only 2% of people get saved after the age of 30. Now notice the next one, from the age of 15 to 29, 34% of the people who's going to get saved are in that age bracket. But notice this, from ages 4 to 14, 63%. That's where most of your salvations are going to come from. By the way, if our churches are not focusing on children's ministries, we are focusing on the wrong things. We ought to focus on children's ministries. If that's where they're getting saved at, we ought to pour all of our resources into master clubs and Sunday school. And I'm glad to be a part of a church that focuses on that age. You just saw the results of that Sunday night from our master club regional that they had here in Fort Worth. And so we need to look at that. But I want to do a poll tonight. If you were saved between the age of 4 and 14, raise your hand. All right, that's about a little over 63%. I'm counting really fast. How many of y'all were saved between the age of 15 and 29? Okay, that's not bad. Now, who was saved over 30 here? There's a few of you. There's five of you. Hallelujah for that. But you see, the statistic is pretty much correct in saying that if people are going to be reached with the gospel, they're going to be reached young. And so you say, why do you say that? Because our job as soul winners doesn't just include us going to older people. It includes us going to the children and to the teenagers. And that's why you need these ministries at your church to reach your ages from 4 to 14 and from the ages of 15 to 29. Now, do we forget about those who are over 30? No. Obviously, we're some of you are here tonight. Next slide. All right, so I'm going to recap really quick. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, okay? So after the Lord has His way and you give up your right to Him, then you try to read what's behind there, all right? This is an encoded sermon, okay? Encrypted sermon. All right, there it is. Thank you, Brother Choi. And why we need to be saved. Number one, that's the first thing. Why we need to be saved. Everybody says why we need to be saved. Say it. Because we're what? We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Okay, next slide, Brother Choi, please, sir. And you can put another song up there, too, if you want to. All right, so there they are. Keep going, Brother Choi. And the next one. And the next one more. I forgot they were on there. And then, for the wages of sin is death. Okay, so there's a penalty that's been placed upon their sin. All right, next slide, Brother Troy. And then the second part of the plan of salvation is who can save us. By the way, wouldn't it be bad if you just knew you need to be saved, but there's nobody to save you, right? And so, who can save us? Well, Christ, by His substitutionary death, He came to stay in your place. He took your place. And Brother Stewart always gives this analogy when he was talking to me about salvation. And I was teaching the soul winning course out at school. And he emphasized this, is that if you don't get this point right, you may mess up the whole thing. Amen. By the way, and we be careful with the terminology we use, especially when you're dealing with children. Who's going to be the main people get saved from ages what to what? Yeah. Ain't that something? So you want to deal with them, don't ask them to ask Jesus in their heart. Why? Because they're picturing a little baby Jesus coming and living in their heart. You ask Jesus to save you. Why? Because you're lost. If you're lost, you need a Savior. So who's going to save us? Well, Jesus, by substitutionary death. Go to the next slide, Brother Troy. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the good news you want to give them. When you're going down through there, yeah, they realize that they're a sinner. We're going to walk through this. Brother Doyce is going to come be my dummy tonight. He didn't know it, but in just a moment. All right, and then go to the next slide, Brother Troy. And Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love," what? "Toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So when you show a person who can save, you show them that Christ, even before they were born, Christ had already knew that they were going to be lost. By the way, that's great love. By the way, Christ died for all. And you quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God loved the world. By the way, he loved Hitler. He loved Michael Wiggins. He loved everybody. That's why he gave his Son. Next slide, Brother Troy. All right, get through these quickly. All right, the third part. Here we are. How we are saved. All right, how are we saved? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Okay, so how are we saved? For by grace. All right, notice what grace is. I stole this from Brother Stewart. Grace means freely given ability to understand and believe. Grace is that ability that God allows us to come to Him and allows us to activate our faith in Him. If there was no grace, we could not come to Him. Just like that veil in the Old Testament temple. If that veil would have never been rent in the New Testament when Jesus died on the cross, then we would have no access. We didn't have the grace to go. But now we have, the Bible says, we have access by grace. We have access to God through who? Through Jesus Christ. So how are we saved? Well, you got to understand, believe, right? How are you going to do that? By grace. All right, we're going to look at Romans 10:13, and then 10:9 and 10. All right, next slide, Brother Troy. All right, so believe the gospel. Here it is. Believe that Jesus died, buried, and rose again. That is the gospel, correct? What are you putting your faith in? You're putting your faith in that He said He is who He said He was. He is who the Bible says that He is, as it is written, right? Jesus died for you. So, believe that Jesus took your place, that substitutionary death. All right, next slide, Brother Troy. Salvation is a heart matter. All right, I talked about this earlier. The Holy Spirit works through the heart to convey the truth of the gospel and the need for salvation. So the Holy Spirit works on the heart. By the way, we're not judging. I'm getting ahead of myself. Come here, Brother Doyce. We'll go ahead and get you up here. Thank you, Brother Doyce. I appreciate you volunteering for this. We're glad to have you back, by the way. Hear your family's coming back. That's always good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So if I go to Brother Doyce's, let's say Brother Doyce is my neighbor. All right, Brother Doyce is a good neighbor. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. It just hit my head. All right, so Brother Doyce lives beside me. So me and Brother Doyce have, you know, we've talked a little bit. We've talked about gardening a little bit. I've tried to get a little bit of a relationship with him. By the way, don't go to your neighbor's house and browbeat them over the head, because you may ruin the relationship that you need to get first. The same thing with family. If you're cold knocking on the door, it's different. But with family and neighbors, it's a little bit different, I believe. And you may have a different opinion, but I believe that it's different. I want to get a relationship with him first. And you're always going to have the super spiritual people say, "Well, what if he dies?" Well, God knows when he's going to die. God knows when to put upon my heart when to deal with him about salvation. I don't know how many times I've been patient. Now, how many? I'll tell you more times I've not been patient. And then he comes to me and says, "Now, what church you go to?" Look at there, that door just opened. By the way, if I can get him to the church and get him underneath the preaching of God's word, hallelujah that. The Bible says compel them to come in, right? And so I come to Brother Doyce, and so we're talking about the heart matter. When I'm dealing with Brother Doyce, he's not my brother yet. He's not saved yet. We're going to get him saved here in a little bit. All right? When I'm going through the plan of salvation, I come to Brother Doyce and say, "Brother Doyce, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" Brother Doyce says, "No." Okay? He just what he just said. Well, I would obviously say, "Well, could I take a moment and show you through the Word of God?" And he would say, "Yes." Everybody says yes. And so the next thing I would show him in my Bible, I would say, "Well, Brother Doyce, do you know that you're lost, that you're a sinner?" Brother Doyce would say, "Yes," because he's going to be an easy candidate for me, right? And I would show him the Scripture. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I would show him Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I would explain to him what that is, to come short of the glory of God, to miss the mark. Because of our sins, we cannot hit God's righteousness. We miss that mark. And I would walk him through that step. But here's one thing I believe we do that is a wrong meter to go by. I do not go by his emotion. I've had people just stare at me, and yet they get saved. I've had people cry, they got saved, apparently. But I've had people cry and not get saved. I don't wait to see him start crying. Wait a minute, I got to mention hell more. He's not crying yet. We think it's funny, but I know people that do that. They judge by emotion. Well, there was no emotion. He was chewing gum. He didn't mean it. Pastor, you've heard that one. Yeah, we know. He was chewing gum. He didn't mean it. Well, I'm not his judge. My job is to tell him the truth. It is his job to receive that truth in the embodiment of Jesus Christ. So I come to Brother Doyce. And go to the next slide, Brother Troy, if you don't mind, please. If you don't mind staying up here for a moment. All right, so Romans 10:9. So once I've talked to Brother Doyce, I've struck up a conversation with him. Let's say he's a family member. By the way, I've dealt with lost family members for a long time. I've told people I've had for the last 25 years, I prayed for my father to get saved. I've witnessed to my father. My children have witnessed to my father. My father has not got saved yet. And you say, well, what if he does? Well, God knows. I'm not going to press my dad. I just try to be light and salt in front of him. I try to make the conversation go that way. But you know what? If I force myself, and trust me, I tried that a long time ago, and it blew my father away. And it took a long time for me to bring him back until a few years ago he just started coming to hear me preach when I go preach at my brother's place. Thank the Lord for that. My dad has never sat underneath preaching. And there's four times that I've counted in the last 2 years that my father's heard preaching. Hallelujah for that. I don't have to be the one to lead him to the Lord at the door. I don't care if he gets saved at Walmart. I just want him to get saved. And so when you go to a house, yeah, you ought to have that desire to see somebody saved, but don't have that desire to run him off, to close a door that may never be opened. And there's a lot of people who do that. Well, you don't understand that you're lost. Well, brother, you know that you're hell bound. You're going to split hell wide open. I'm telling you, these things sound funny, but I've heard these things. I've been with people where they know the little trick of putting the hand on the back. Now pray. Sorry. I've seen that. Now, you know what, brother? You're not getting it, but here, I want to pray for you. Dear Lord, I have Doyce here, and he doesn't want to get saved. And Lord, he doesn't see that he's a sinner, but he knows that he's a sinner. Now, Father, I'm just going to turn it over to you. And God, now, Doyce, just right now, why don't you just... And then he's going to say something to get me away from him. Don't force that conversation. But if I've said, Doyce, do you know that the Bible says that we are all sinners? And Doyce says, oh, yeah. Trust me, you're going to meet some people that are like that. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, I know that. I've done a lot of things in my life. You know what? I like it when they know that. Because then I don't have to take the law and go through a whole bunch of stuff. He knows he's lost. Hallelujah. check one. Now, we're not checking things necessarily, but I'm saying check one. Okay? That he knows that he's lost. Number two, do you know who can save you? Doyce, there has to be somebody who can save you. There's only one, by the way. The Bible says, Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, here's what the scripture says. For the wages of sin is death. But, I like that. He says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wouldn't you like, don't you like gifts, Doyce?
Yes, I do.
Oh, we all love gifts. Now, Doyce, I would say I have a gift for you, okay, in my wallet. And it's a church credit card. Because that's all I have. And now, Doyce, I have a church credit card here, and it has a big limit on it. Church, trust me. But, Doyce, I want to give you this card. Now, Doyce, what would you have to do to receive this card?
I would have to take it.
Now, that's a free gift.
Yes, sir.
Now, Doyce, I'm never going to take that back until after in just a minute.
Absolutely.
Now, Doyce, the same thing is true with Jesus Christ. He came and died for you. The Bible says that he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. But also, I want you to see that you have to trust in what he did. Do you know what he did for you, Doyce? The Bible says that he came and that he lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years. And Doyce, at the end of that life, they put him on a cross. And the reason that they put him on the cross was not because of the crowd, but it was because of our sin. Our sin put him on the cross. And Doyce, he went to the cross and they platted a crown on his head and they pierced his side. The blood ran down because that was our atonement. That was what's going to cover our sin. And Doyce, he was buried, but he rose on the third day. Do you believe that, Doyce, that he arose on the third day? Well, he believes that. Hallelujah. Now, Doyce, here's how you can be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? Now, we're going to talk about these verses here in a moment, but this also, time out on the field. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's believing the gospel. That is the epitome of the gospel. You say, wait a minute, that doesn't say anything about his death, burial, and resurrection. It just says about his resurrection. Hello? You can't rise unless you've been buried. Right? That was Alabama talk. All right? So we see that through this, there's three main words in here. I want to focus on these just for a moment. We see the word confess. And I wrote the definition, the Strong's, the Greek interpretation of that. And here's what the interpretation is. And when you talk about confess, the word confess here means to acknowledge or to agree with. Okay? So if thou shalt agree with, what are you going to agree with? You're going to agree with the Scripture, the Gospel.
Right.
You're going to agree with it. And then the second thing says, shalt believe in thine heart. I looked up the word believe. It says to persuade. Here it is. This is not me. Place confidence in. You're placing your confidence, or basically you're trusting, you're believing at face value that Jesus died, buried, and rose again. You're believing in that. But where? With the heart. What is that? That's the seed of man. That's who you are. It's not a mind thing. Salvation is not a mind thing. Salvation is a heart matter. Now go to the next one. That's Romans 10:9. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart, there it is again, man believeth unto what? Unto righteousness. Why are we believing unto righteousness? Because we're sinners, right? Why do we need to be saved? Class, because we're what? We're sinners. What does it mean to be a sinner? It means to be unrighteous. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah tells us. So we see here that, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're agreeing. Now, remember, by the way, who Paul is talking to in chapter 10. Chapter 10, he's reviewing Israel's past in chapter 9. In chapter 10, he's looking at Israel's present time. Chapter 11 is Israel's future. So when you're looking at Romans chapter 10, he's talking to the religious crowd. By the way, it would have been something for them to believe in Christ's righteousness instead of their righteousness. That's what they believed in. They believed that their righteousness came through the law and through doing things. I'm glad there's nobody like that in the world today, right? Well, people think, well, you know, preacher, I come to church just as soon as I get everything straightened out in my life.
God help us. We can't do it without Him.
It's
not our righteousness. And so think about these Jews that He's talking to, these religious Jews that He's talking to here, and these religious Romans that are there. There's a crowd of Jews and there's a crowd of Greeks there. He's talking to a mixed multitude of crowd. We understand that. But here they are in this religious crowd. It's those who are using head knowledge, the Greeks, and those who are using self-righteousness, the Jews. And Paul says, nope. They believe in the heart. Believeth unto righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. But he also added a little bit on there. He said, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. By the way, for them to confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, would it cost them their family, their fortune, and their fame? It would have cost them everything. By the way, you go on down, you read the next few verses, it says, my mind just slipped, but he's not ashamed. He that believeth on Christ is not ashamed.
Amen.
You're not ashamed of it. You're not ashamed. By the way, the mouth confession is just an outward expression of what happened in your heart. By the way, if somebody truly gets saved, they're not ashamed to say, I just got saved.
Amen.
Our pastor always used to, whenever people would come down down to the steps, we was in a small church, he'd always ask them, hey, what happened to you tonight? They'd say, I got saved. If somebody was, there was a few times, you know, kids come down, our pastor say, what happened to you tonight? And he's not trying to embarrass them. He's just trying to, you know, shout glory with them. There's a few times kids come down there and go, somebody didn't deal with them quite right. He'd say, what happened to you tonight? And they'd be like, pastor said, we're going to deal with this one a little more. Let's sing another verse, you know. The mouth confession. But go to the next verse, Brother Troy. But notice what it says here. Romans 10:13. Here it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Next slide, Brother Troy. I want to break this down because I think this is so important, a point to emphasize. I've gotten Brother Deutsch to see why we need to be saved. Because we're sinners. We're born sinners. One man got us into it. One man can get us out. One man's unrighteousness. One man's righteousness. One man's disobedience and one man's obedience. The Bible always draws that contrast between Adam and Christ. Now, he understands he's a sinner, but now he understands who. Jesus Christ stood in His place on that cross. When Jesus was on the cross, He was there for you. He was there for me. Now, the third thing, we see that, how? How am I going to get saved? Well, here it is. We'll break it down just a little bit for you. So, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, if I ask Doyce, now you say, wait a minute, that's an archaic word. People are not going to understand that. They're going to understand it. Promise you. If I say whosoever wants to come up here and get $5, everybody would understand that word, right? But if we don't want to do something, I don't understand it all of a sudden. Whosoever, that means what? What does whosoever mean?
Whoever.
Wow, he's a great scholar. He would understand that. A child would understand whosoever. You could say whomever, whatever. But whosoever, put the person's name there, and that's what I would do. When I have my New Testament, I would say, now, Doris, let's read this verse together. I would show him that verse. I would say, Doris, read this with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'd get him to read it. I'd say, now, Doris, let's take that word whosoever out and let's put your name there. Doris, call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doris, this is a personal verse to you. Now, notice the next thing, call upon. Calling upon Him to be what? Your Savior. Why? Because He sees He's a sinner. You see, you're a sinner, right? Doyce saw that Christ is the only one that can save you, right? Well, how are you going to... And remember, I told you that's a gift. How are you going
to
receive it? You got to take it. Don't you like gifts that you can just take? It's a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. And so, Doyce, he wants you to take that gift. How are you going to take it? You call upon Him. Now, Doris, I want to show you the last part of this verse. Shall be saved. Notice that next part, a term of absolute. Doris, he's not going to deny you because of your past. Because we're all sinners. Hello? My wife can tell you we had a lady in our church in Alabama that didn't think she could be saved because of what she did in her early years of her life. She was in her 60s. Linda was in her 60s, wasn't she? And She didn't believe she could be saved because of all she did in her past. Isn't that sad? I'm glad that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad that He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I'll think about it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, I'll review their application. Hello, that's not what it says. Emphasize that to people that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Done. That gift is yours. And then I always explain it to them that nobody can take it away. I go back to John 3:16. You understand John 3:16, you can understand salvation and eternal security all in one verse. Matter of fact, you can use John chapter 3 to lead somebody to the Lord. It's all there. It talks about verse 17 and 18 talks about us being condemned. We're condemned already. You go back to John 3:16, it tells us why He came. He came to die for us. But it also says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Does that mean, Doris, you know what everlasting means?
Yes, sir.
Now, when I was a kid, we used to eat everlasting gobstoppers. Remember those?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't last, did they? They wasn't eternal. It only lasts for a little while. But to us, the salvation, the gift that God wants to give you, is everlasting. It spans all periods of time. It spans all the way into eternity. God will never take it away from you. He'll never ask it back because it's a gift. I always explain to them, now to us, if I take that back, is this still a gift? No, because I took it back. God's not going to take it back, people. He gives you eternal life. I'm glad you gave that back to me while pastor's watching. Thank you, Brother Dorsey, and be seated. Thank you. So everybody see the progression? Why do we need to be saved? Everybody say it. Who can save us? Amen. How do we get saved? Call upon the name of the Lord. Now, nowhere in that presentation of salvation was there any works, baptisms, church memberships, be good. Nowhere in there. It's all about you seeing who you are and you seeing who He is and you seeing how you can get to Him. That's it. It's a very simple plan. And I would say for me, the hardest part of the plan is doing it. Is telling someone. I don't know about you, but I've been challenged through this whole thing to tell more people about Jesus Christ. I'm more conscious of it now than I've ever been in a long time. And for me, I realize that somebody gave this illustration. I was thinking today that one thing that has destroyed our families and our world is cancer. Wouldn't you agree? And I was talking to my cousin today, and I was reminded again of two people with cancer. And I thought, what would it be if I had that cure? And I took that cure and I put it in a safe and closed that safe up. And here we got Miss Pat. We got others with cancer all around the world. And I don't bear to share the cure for it. Guess who, when they stand before God in heaven, is going to give an account for holding on to that cure? I am. Folks, you have the cure for sin. It is Jesus Christ. Don't you want to see people saved? I do. But I'll tell you what, it's hard sometimes to get that courage up, to get that boldness and to give somebody the gospel. By the way, don't be mean and hateful. Be kind. I read it last night. Paul said, though I have all this stuff, he said, but if I have not charity, he says, I become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Folks, I'll tell you, love will go a long way with somebody. By the way, a lot of people are just wanting to see that somebody loves them. Tonight, I encourage you. Still again. By the way, I just want to say and brag on God. I've been praying for somebody to get saved. For a specific person to get saved through this whole thing and they came to church Sunday. Man, God's working. Find somebody you want to pray for. It may not be you that leads them to the Lord. That's okay. I'm not up here to say, well, I wrote down four more names again. I don't care if it's written in my book. I care if it's written in his book. Amen. New name written down in glory. Amen. Not in my book. I give him glory. And so maybe tonight you want to come as we stand. We're going to sing 155 here in just a moment. I'm going to pray and I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. But if you need to come tonight and just pray for some individual that you know that's lost, and let's lay their names before the Lord tonight as we stand. Father, we love you. We thank you for the night. Lord, thank you for your simple plan of salvation that you laid out in your scripture. Now, God, I do pray that you'd have your own way tonight. And Father, I pray that you would all help us all to be soul winners greater than ever before. Lord, think about our neighbors, our family, Lord, those that we come in contact with every day. Help us to pass out more tracts, and God, just to be more considerate to others and love others. And Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to with somebody just on our heart. And Lord, you know the person I've been praying for, and God, just I was so glad to see him here Sunday. And Lord, I thank you for working in their life. And Lord, I pray that you'd save souls. And God, whether they get saved here, Lord, at their home, wherever, Lord, to God be the glory. And so, Father, I pray tonight that you would just make yourself evident among us, and Lord, save souls. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to help us now in Christ's name. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Hymn 155, have thine own way, Lord. Lord, touch your heart, you come. Maybe somebody specific you want to come pray for, have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way.